Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome back to Parenting Uncovered. We're Dave and Ashley Willis. And you guys, we have a very special guest today, Sabrina Schmeichel. And she is pretty much an expert in raising a little one and being creative and doing all the things. And so we're so excited to talk with her today.
Yeah, Sabrina's doing great work. You can find her on TikTok, Instagram, and we'll talk about all that. She is the mom of little Calvin, who's about to turn 1 year old, and she's got some great insights on raising a little one. And yeah, it's been a while for us since we had one that age.
Yes.
So we're excited to kind of reminisce and think back, but also to give some practical tools to all of you who are in that season right now with all of the unique joys and the unique challenges that that raising a little one can bring. So Sabrina, welcome to Parenting Uncovered.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited for this conversation. Just reaching more parents. And this is such a topic that is just so needed. And parents are, as a parent, a new parent myself, I'm constantly looking for resources like this and podcasts like this. So I'm just thrilled to be a part of it.
Well, Sabrina, we met via Instagram, and I remember when just hearing from you, and then I looked at your page, and I immediately wrote back and was like, and you didn't even know this at the time that we were going to be doing a parenting podcast per se, but I was looking through everything, and I told Dave, I said, we have got to have her on, because, you know, like Dave said, it's been a long time since we've had a little one, like a 1 year old in the house. You know, our youngest is 8. But I just love your approach to including kids in activities, to being creative with play. And I just want to hear kind of your perspective on that and how you can encourage, you know, other mothers kind of, and dads too, in that same phase. So kind of kicking it off, what would you say as far as, you know, being a mom with a very little one, what are some of the struggles that for you and for other mothers in your same phase of parenting, like what are some of the struggles you're seeing?
Yeah, for sure. I think a big one is realizing that they're still just a tiny person. I think sometimes we forget that they're also human and that they have needs, and their crying is just their way of communicating is a big one. And we are entering the phase of temper tantrums, which came way sooner than I thought it would. So with that, it is definitely hard to step back and think, okay, this is just him trying to communicate something to me. Like, we as adults even have temper tantrums. I mean, step back and look at social media for a second and you'll see some adults having temper tantrums there. So that is just to realize that he's just a little tiny human, just like I am. He's just trying to communicate to me. And just that relating in that way is something that is way easier said than done. But I do love including him in those, as you said. I'm currently doing a little mini series on my Instagram of that, of just how to get them included. And he loves it. So we did one last week in the grocery store. And so I was getting him to help me bag the produce. It's just those little things that he loves it, and he's learning and his broadening his horizon in that way. And it's just little things that you don't think that they're capable of. But if your 6-month-old can sign language more for more food, then they understand more than we think that they do, then we give them credit for. And sometimes I'll be like, I'm going to try this with him, but he's probably not going to get it. And he, right before my eyes, I'm like, I had no idea you were even capable of that. And so I think just really stepping back and giving them a little more credit and trying things out with them a little more is something that needs to be kind of spoken for a little more. And so that's something I love sharing. It's just like, you know, people are like, oh, Calvin's so smart, or Calvin is so this. And I'm like, he totally is, but your baby probably is too. Just give him the chance, you know? So that's kind of the biggest thing with him, is just giving him the opportunity.
I love that. It's so good. So good. And this last year, I know life has changed in so many ways. That first year of parenthood, I think, is maybe the biggest year of transition in a lifetime. And so what are some of the things that you've learned, you know, personally, just how's maybe that surprised you? Because I know we all know it's going to look a little different. But what are some of those changes in your life that have surprised you over this last year?
Yeah, for sure. I would say a big one is So you hear when you're getting ready to step into parenthood, they say, especially for moms, ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask for help. And you hear that a lot. So I was like, okay, I won't be afraid to ask for help. But then you get into that situation and you just feel whatever it is, if it's pride, if it's, you know, you're scared to ask for help, you don't want to hand that responsibility over to somebody. But I think something like maybe step back one step and just be willing to accept help. I didn't realize how hard that would be for me. And so asking for help was unimaginable. I was like, I'm not going to go out of my way and ask somebody for help. But step one was just, you know, if somebody, my mom was asking to step in and feed Calvin when he was really little, just accepting that help was even a really big step for me. And so I think if we can just step back one step, and if we're having a hard time with something, you know, what's step one for that? And so that was a big one that I wasn't expecting, because I thought, well, I'm pretty good. Like, I'm pretty good letting my community step in, you know, my family, I'm a really close knit family. So I'm like, I'll be good with that. And then he comes and I'm like, I have to do all this myself. I'm the mom. Yes. I know him. I can't do this. And so just accepting help was a big one. And then now that he's a crazy running around coming up on a toddler, I need that help. Like, I can't do that by myself. So that has been something for sure. Now I'm more comfortable asking for help for sure. But those first few months, just saying, yes, I would love for you to hold him while I go take a shower. Yes, I would love for you to do that. The people that are asking aren't going to ask to do something that they're not willing to do, or that is, you know, too hard for them or anything like that. So if you are just willing to say, yes, that would be great, thank you so much for your help. That was much harder than I thought it would be. But with God's grace, we've gotten here today, and now I can actually ask for help. So
I love it.
I'm telling you, I hope people are really leaning in and listening, even in other seasons of parenting. Not being too prideful to ask for help is huge, because I do think that we get caught in thinking that we have to do everything, but really what we end up doing is resenting what we're doing. And I mean, I was guilty of that, because I was trying to do it all, and Dave was trying to do it all, and we don't live near family. We did sometimes have family around, but then other times, you know, we wouldn't. And sometimes it was like, I felt bad in asking for help. But for me, you're so wise. You're wise beyond your years, Sabrina, because for me, I don't think it was until like kid three that I felt comfortable just asking for help. You know, we were talking with a ministry friend of ours, and he's in his early 60s. He's raised his kids. And he was saying how he likes to look out for moms right around your season of life, like that have little ones who are traveling. Cause he's like, there is nothing harder, like when you have little ones, than traveling with them. Cause you know, you have a lot of stuff you're strolling along, you know, and then you have your luggage too. And you have all the little things you need to feed a baby, to change a baby. And so he said he was getting on a plane and he saw this mother struggling because she was trying to push this. She was by herself and she had a small child, probably around Calvin's age. And so he said, I went over to her and I was like, Miss, can I help you? You know, and he's thinking, oh, she can probably have me lift something, like lift the luggage and put it away or whatever. She turns around and she hands him, she goes, oh my gosh, thank you so much for being willing to help. She said, can you hold my child? And he doesn't know her. And she hands him this little baby. And she said that, or he said he was like so stunned by it, but he also was like so delighted. He's like, I haven't held a baby like this in forever. And he said that he just followed her, you know, through to the airplane and got her seated. And then she was like, thank you so much. That was just exactly what I needed. And I was just thinking to myself, smiling, thinking like, we all need to do that. Like, even when we're out of the baby phase, like being willing to help, just how much that's so unexpected to so many moms and dads.
Yeah.
But it's like, we don't go around expecting it per se, but I think just being willing to, it just makes the world a brighter place.
Oh, it does.
You say, honey, like,
for
the
sure.
times people helped us, like, I will never forget, like, another quick story, and then I'm going to ask you another question, and Dave will too. I remember I had two young ones. We had our first two close together. I was at Chick-fil-A, and I noticed this elderly couple sitting in a booth, and I was sitting in a booth, and I was not in a good place. Like, I was not just mentally, just not feeling the day, you know, but I had the two little ones there so they could play at Chick-fil-A. And I'm getting ready to feed, like I'd packed everything to have a bottle to feed our little one. And I cannot get, like, I needed to get the top off to do something to like put the bag in there to feed them or whatever. And I cannot get this top off. And the whole time, like, I think our toddler at the time, who was also there, was like fussing or something. And I saw the older couple look at me. And in my mind, I'm thinking, they're thinking what a terrible mom I am, that my kids are kind of losing it or whatever. Cause I think both were crying by this point. The baby's hungry, the toddler's, you know, wanting something too. And I couldn't give him attention. And so the whole time I'm like messing with this top and I keep feeling their eyes on me. Well, all of a sudden the guy gets up and walks over to me and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, am I going to be like reprimanded? Like that's in my mind. I thought they're going to be like, you know, you should really get your kids to stop crying. We're trying to have our coffee at Chick-fil-A and you're disturbing our morning. Like that's what I'm thinking. Well, this man probably in his 70s comes over and he says, excuse me, ma'am. He said, first of all, your boys are just so precious. And he said, and secondly, can I help you get that top off of your bottle? He goes, I can tell you've been struggling. And I almost like had tears in my eyes because I was like the whole time thinking they're mad at me for disturbing them. And instead, they're just parents, older, wiser parents wanting to lend a hand. And I so gracious, like I was so eager for help. So like I was like, yes, please. And he immediately got it off. Everything went smoother after that. But I just love your point because I think that we get caught in comparison traps. We get caught in making assumptions. I've certainly been guilty of that. But I think that asking for help and receiving it, like you said, receiving it is a big thing. I think it's just so essential to really not only being a better parent, but also being in a better mental health space. I mean, wouldn't you say?
Oh, for sure. That is something too with something that I'm currently working through is trusting my husband to do things too. Like, I think that we forget. Yes. I received that piece of advice at my baby shower. I believe we put little cards, you know, give advice for the mom. And somebody had written, trust dad. He can do almost everything you can do. Like, obviously he can't so nurse Calvin or just, you know, sometimes they just need that. They just need mama, but he can do a lot of things. And that is something that I have really struggled to let that go of just, okay, I'm going to be okay to just take a 20-minute drive to go get a coffee and he's going to be okay. He is.
Yes. Like, yeah.
Jacob, my husband, is a great dad and he's super involved. And Calvin is getting to that point where he loves being with dad. It was obviously there for a while. He's just a little potato who just wants to be by mom. But now he's actually enjoying spending time with dad. And that is something for me to just really let that go. And so, yes, like accepting help from outside family, but I never thought it'd be hard to let dad step in. I was, you know, I trust him completely, but it really is something when that baby comes into the world, you're like, you just want to hold him tight. Like you do not want to let anybody else do anything with them. It is so, it's even more of just a pride thing. It can also just be, this doesn't feel right. This is going against my instincts to walk away from them. But like you said, for our mental sanity, we need to sometimes step away and let dad, let your mom, let your in-laws, your friends, whoever your community is to, yes, come in and just help, whatever that looks like. Even if that's just, like I said, taking a shower, that which I never thought would be a form of self-care, but here we are.
It totally is. A shower and peace.
Yeah. Bathing is a wonderful thing.
It and is.
Yes. The things you take for granted. Because when you're a parent, like, everything gets harder that first year because everything gets more complicated and the stuff that used to be so easy just gets a little more complicated. So when you can do those simple things.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
It's a gift. And get leaning on each other. So this isn't a marriage podcast. We have the Naked Marriage podcast for that. But I would love to know just how have you and Jacob, how's your relationship adjusted and changed kind of during this year? Because it is a big adjustment on a couple.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So we attended the EXO Marriage Conference last February. So I was just out of my first trimester. And that was a really big turnaround for our marriage, was just going in and putting time, finances, taking a trip, and just pouring into our marriage and intentionally. And then we had driven to Kansas. So we had like 6-12 hours in the car, and we were just talking the whole time about what our expectations were. We realized how important boundaries were going to become with our families, just becoming our own family unit, that once this baby comes into the world, you know, this is our little family unit and we need to protect this. And just mm-hmm. those conversations, just that alone, I have just seen a 180 in our marriage. I think that we are so much healthier. We communicate a lot more. And I mean, it's still very hard. Like we've never been parents before. We've never done this. And with Calvin changing so much, our schedules have to change, our expectations change. But I think just communication, I know everybody says it, but it's what it comes down to. And like I said, asking for help, I have to be comfortable and willing to ask him for help. And then that's sometimes even harder for the guy. So when he's coming to me and saying like, I need to go have some time with some friends, what can I do for you today to help take care of you? And then I could go have some time with friends. That is, I think, a big thing is just helping each other realize what we need. This is easier said than done, but trying to mm-hmm. outserve each other and see ahead, like, okay, she's looking pretty worn out today. Maybe I could just do the dishwasher and that would help a lot. Or for me, I'm like, I can tell he's feeling a little cooped up. You need to go see some friends. How can we make that happen? Just kind of noticing that. And that definitely was not happening in the newborn baby phase. Like, we are focused on baby, but now that we're kind of able to step back and realize that we still have to take care of ourselves and each other. But I think a big thing with the newborn phase that really stood out to me was the father can feel very helpless. And I don't think that he was expecting that. And I don't think that I was expecting that. Was he felt very much like the baby only wants mom right now. Like, it's eat, sleep, repeat. Like, you just, there wasn't much that he could do. And so I just said, and he kind of said this himself. He was like, I just need to take care of you, whatever you need so that you can take care of the baby. Because I didn't have time to take care of myself. I didn't remember how many days it had been since I'd showered. I didn't remember that I was wearing the same t-shirt for 5 days. I'm not paying attention to that. And so he was constantly like, okay, you've only drank one bottle of water today. Bringing me, you know, my Stanley full of water, or, hey, you need to go make sure you take a shower today. How can we make that happen? And so that was huge for me to be able to properly take care of Calvin. And now we both can equally kind of pour into him now that he's a little older. But in that phase, for him to just take care of me so I can best take care of Calvin was really big, and not really something that we saw. We kind of were like, okay, we're going to be 50-50. We're going to be teammates in this. And then that baby comes out. And it's all mom. It's a lot of mom.
That's a good word for people expecting to just be aware that is a surprise. I remember feeling that way all those years ago. Like, oh my gosh, what do I do? Like, I don't know how to help right now. But the way Jacob is saying, like, I want to take care of you so you can take care of him. And then now, of course, you're in a phase where both of you can help a little more equally. That's great too. But that's a good reminder, because I think so many couples experience that and are surprised by it.
They are. And like, to your point, there can be resentment from both parties.
Yeah.
Like, he can resent that maybe and feel like, oh my gosh, she's not letting me do certain things, when really that's not the case. It's just there's certain things like nursing that he can't do, you know, and that is an important part of those early days, you know, and sometimes the baby just wants mom. But then on your end, you can feel like, why isn't he doing more? Like, there can be resentment. Like, why isn't he just pitching in? And we hear that from couples. But I think when you can look at it, like, how can we both serve one another? Because right now, that baby, you know, Calvin needs Sabrina in ways that I can't fulfill that, but I can take care of Sabrina, which is also in essence taking care of Calvin. So you all are doing your parts and playing to each other's strengths. And I love the thing about the check-in, like, what can I do for you today? I mean, we talk about that all the time, but you speaking of it in such practical terms and how it works, it's such a great reminder, because we need to do that in all seasons of life.
Oh yeah, that's great advice.
It's such good advice. I want to switch gears real quick before we're going to let people know kind of where they can get with you and our fun little part that we do at the end. You do a lot about Montessori kind of teaching and learning, and also toy rotation, which toy rotation, when we, you know, we had our first child 18 years ago, and toy rotation was not a thing. Like, no. You never heard about that. It was like, these are your toys until you outgrow these toys, and then you're going to have other toys. But I've seen you, and there's like one other younger mom who I've seen talk about this, and I'm like, this is so brilliant and like smart. Like, why didn't I think about this when I was a young mom? But can you explain, first of all, what toy rotation is to people who may not be familiar with it?
Yes, absolutely. So we have just little baskets. This will change with as he gets older, but right now I kind of have just some categories of toys. So I have a category of instruments, anything that makes sound. I have a category of teething toys because he's in that phase, yes. Or kind of in between it right now. He's got his teeth coming in, so anything he can chew on. And then we've got like toys that are a little more, have a point to them. So like little puzzles or something that's a little bit more difficult. So we kind of break things up into categories, and I will just put his toys in different baskets. And once a week, it can depend on your kiddo. If you think that your kid can last 2 weeks and not get really super bored of their toys, a month, whatever works for your family. Right now, I can do once a week when we have more kids down the road. Maybe that won't be the case, but right now I kind of just do it every Sunday. I go in and I'll take two toys from each of those categories, put it in one big basket or on an open shelf. And so that way he's seeing new toys all the time. It's like Christmas morning when he comes out on Monday morning. He's like, whoa, I have all these new toys. What is this? And he's so young that by the time we rotate back to the first toys, it's been a couple months. And so he's like, I've never seen this before.
Brand new.
Or he's like, hey, I remember this. I love this. So that is kind of all that is just re-sparking their imagination and their creativity and just reintroducing those toys so you can just get a longer run out of them. It's mostly just a little parent hack. But I think too, by having everything put away in a closet is how I do it. I just have it in different baskets. It is very understimulating and underwhelming for him to just have 10 toys for the week, because I have had all of his toys out before and he doesn't play with a single one of them, because that's a lot. Where the heck do you start? Like if you go into a grocery store and you have no idea what you're there for, you kind of just end up standing there like, I don't even know what I want. What should I get? And so I would see that look on his face. If like all the toys are on the floor, has no idea where to start. But if there's 10 to 12 toys in a basket, okay, now I know where to start. We'll take one toy at a time and play with that. And so that is something that I think we really as a society are starting to recognize. As moms, we're starting to recognize that kids can get overstimulated really, really easy. And so by lessening their load a little bit, it's not that they don't know how to pay attention or they have short attention spans. It's just that it's a big world. Like if you ever get down on their level, I'll do that sometimes in his room. I'm like, okay, let me see what you're seeing. I'll get down on his level and I'm like, whoa, this is kind of daunting. This is kind of scary. There's a lot of toys and everything's really tall and it's just a lot to them. And so if we can just lessen that load a little bit, they're going to be so much more likely to play by themselves for a little while and their creativity is going to come out and they're just going to be happier babies. I think that we kind of put that on them again, recognizing that they're just little humans. If all of our dressers and our rocking chairs were like hovering over our heads, we're going to be, whoa, that's a lot. We can't really, I'm going to cry. Like I'm going to throw a temper tantrum because that's a lot. And so, yes, exactly. So those toy rotations just really help with that, with just having certain toys at a time. And I think it really does just play into understimulating, getting him excited about his toys again. There's so many good things to it. And I've really seen that. And if I forget to rotate his toys for a few weeks, I'm like, why are you not playing with your toys? I'm like, oh, that's right. I'll just throw in a few little new ones. And that creativity is just re-sparked, which you don't really think an 11-month-old has some creativity or imagination, but he totally does. I'll see him over there playing with his little animals and he is more than happy to play over there for a while. So it has really, really worked out for us. And I've heard some other moms say that they've given it a try and they've seen just success in it too. And I love it. It has been awesome.
I love it. And what I hear you saying too is kind of in that Montessori form, he's doing self-led play. So he's picking, yes. He gets to choose and giving him like, you know, you're giving him a curated amount of choices in specific baskets. It's so smart. And looking back, you know, I know like young moms listening, young dads listening, if your child at this age, like that 1 to 2 age is constantly frustrated and seems disinterested in their toys, get down on their level, look around, maybe remove some of that seems overwhelming, and also consider this toy rotation. And I think Sabrina, she's going to give her information at the end here where you can follow her. You give just such great, just practical information that is doable for people. Because I think that I know as a young mom, just kind of rewinding the clock, you know, back, so many times I felt overwhelmed. And then I think our kids feel that too. Our kids are overwhelmed, you know? And so it's like when we feel like we have tools in our tool belt and we're able to get this together, an organization also brings peace. It brings such peace, not only to us as parents, but also to the children when they can see it organized. It's like feng shui for kids or whatever, you know, it's just less, you know, it kind of is.
Yes.
And I've noticed that in my own children. Like our kids are much older than Calvin, but like, we just switched around rooms since our son left, and we're like, you know, we're kind of shuffling the rooms, and we have had each of our children share a room at some point. So they learn how to share a room. But now that Cooper left, and I think that Chatham's at an age, and you know, Chandler's in middle school, he's our 11-year-old. We're like, now you're each going to have your own room. And it's been really cool to see them. One of the things that I had to resist was controlling where everything was put, because I'm a organizational freak. But like through their childhood, I've kind of tried to show them, and Dave's tried to show them how to be organized. But it's interesting to see how they put it together, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what toys they wanted to bring, you know, for the younger ones. And then like what they wanted to see on the walls, right? It
taps into their creativity, whether they're one or whether they're 18.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot we can learn from that.
And giving them more credit at every phase of life. That's what I hear you saying. So you're just awesome, Sabrina. I just love what you're doing to encourage parents. And we're going to go into our little fun, quick
Ashley's
session.
Ashley's weekly fascinating fact.
Yes.
So, sweetie, what do you got for us this week?
Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited. So what I do, Sabrina, is I talk about some kind of fascinating parenting fact from history or science or something interesting, and then Dave's going to share his dad joke. But this is actually from goodhousekeeping.com. It talks about parenting through different decades. And so I'm going to share several of these. They're real quick. In the 1920s, it said that they thought fresh air was great, which obviously we know that. But in the 1920s, they thought this thought was taken to extreme because experts advised parents to keep their kid outside all day, whether in a playpen or not. But this led to kids being too exposed to the elements. And so, you know, they kind of had to, I don't know, change a little bit after that. Like, just leave them out all day. Just leave them out, you know, exposed. And also in the 1920s, many experts encouraged parents to never hug or kiss their baby because they believed that cuddling wasn't good for them, which, you know, is so counter to what we know today scientifically, like what it does for a child. But how heartbreaking for those 1920s babies. All right, I'll share.
That's why everybody born in the 20s was so grumpy. I'm just kidding. Right. They weren't really grumpy.
They needed a harder life.
They needed a hug.
They did have a harder life. My goodness, they did. Oh, and this is funny. You'll find this very funny. This is in the 1930s. So we're shifting to the 1930s. It said a pamphlet published by the U.S. government in 1932 suggested that that parents should start toilet training their baby immediately after they were born. So immediately, I'm curious to know how that actually happened, because you think, how would you even, I mean, bless their heart. Like when you're just born, you're just, like you said, eat, sleep, repeat. Like you're not sure what's happening here. So I wonder how that went. Obviously, probably not very well.
That is interesting.
It'd be interesting to know how they trained them. I don't know.
We keep learning. That's why, you know, you take even the experts with a grain of salt, because through history, experts have been wrong on stuff. But we're always learning. We're always growing.
Exactly.
So good, fascinating fact.
I love these facts. I'm such a nerd. I like nerd out on them. All right. What's your dad joke today?
It's hard to pick ever just one dad joke because they're all equally terrible. But all right. So today's, did you hear the sad news that Captain Crunch was recently arrested for murdering both Tony the Tiger and Count Chocula?
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Turns out Captain Crunch is a serial killer.
But
bad joke. I know they're all that bad. Okay?
They're all that
or
bad.
Good, depending on how you.
They're all that bad.
Oh my gosh! And I love it, sweetie, because I love cereal.
Oh, so. You're too kind.
You had me at Captain Crunch.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting hungry thinking about it. So, Sabrina, right. Before we let you go, you're creating great content. I love what you're doing on Instagram, on TikTok. Tell folks where they can find you and connect with what you're doing.
Yes.
Yes. Well, thank you for your kind words. It has been such a blessing. My platform grew. Actually, our pregnancy announcement, the video of us finding out that we were pregnant, went viral and got millions of views. And so that was where a lot of my followers came in, and they were fellow moms. And so it's just kind of blown up, and God has used it in just crazy ways. So I am Sabrina.Schmeichel. Not a lot of other people have that last name, so it's pretty easy to get my name on these social medias, but on both Instagram and TikTok. And yes, I just love, I say we're finding the magic in motherhood again, because society has just really made motherhood feel like such a negative thing that takes away your time, takes away from your identity. And I just love to encourage. It is such a high calling that God has given us. These children are such blessings, and it is such a short season in our life. And I just love connecting and having this community of moms. So if you are expecting, if you are already an empty nester and you're just having grandkids, whatever it is, there is just so much encouragement and community that on this little corner of the internet that I just love. And so I thank you guys so much for having me. This was so much fun. Thankful for Instagram for connecting us too. That was perfect.
Yes.
So yes, thank you so much.
Well, yeah, thank you for being here. We're praying for you and Jacob and Calvin and your growing family.
Thank you.
And that, just many, many blessings ahead. And thanks for sharing your adventures with so many of us and encouraging other parents along the way.
That's right. And thank you guys so much for tuning into Parenting Uncovered. We will see you next time.